Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 107 on March 16th of 2023. Today, I will be answering four questions received in the last week. For more insights into how to choose stocks that will provide you with both a reliable, ever-growing income and constant growth in your portfolio, visit www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com. Question number one. Is it necessary to consider a company's long-term debt when choosing stocks for a portfolio? When I am evaluating a stock that I am considering buying, I do not look at such thing as long-term debt, sales volumes, or all the dozens of possible data items I could check. The only data I use are the items that go into the IDM stock scoring software calculation, plus the historical share prices and dividend payouts going back each year to 1999. The stock scoring software is supplied with my investment books. The very final step in the evaluation is to do a Google search, putting the company name along with the words legals and complaints. I want to be aware of any problems with the stock, like a billion-dollar class action lawsuit, stock manipulation issues, and so on. 55 years ago, when writing Dun & Bradstreet commercial credit reports, I had to collect many questionable facts, such as, was the owner married? How old was he? What was the sales volume? And so on. When I eventually designed systems to compete with the Dun & Bradstreet reports, there were only two questions I wanted to answer. One was, when will I get paid? And the second was, will I get paid? Using computerized trade payment records, claims placed with collection agencies, and legal filings from courthouses, I could produce a far, far better, more current evaluation of commercial risk than any Dun & Bradstreet report could produce. We took away half of D&B's customers very quickly. Most of the data D&B was collecting was irrelevant to making a commercial risk decision. They had not changed how they collected data in over 100 years. Much of the data available in stocks is also redundant and irrelevant. You can tie yourself up in knots of indecision, trying to find a perfect stock meeting every supposedly important criteria. Such a stock does not exist. Keep things simple. The two important decisions you want answered are, one, will my dividend payments be constant and growing? And two, will the stock's share prices grow from 1 year to the next? If the company's operating margin shows they are barely profitable, if the price to earnings ratio shows the share price is too high and likely to drop, if the share price has not grown consistently over several years, if few shares are being traded daily, if the dividend is lower than 5%, then I'm not going to waste time further evaluating the stock. If they cannot manage their expenses, like long-term debt, it would show up in their operating margin. Their lack of a dividend and their high price-to-earnings ratio. Looking for this data is one reason I only invest in high dividend-paying stocks, because such companies are almost guaranteed to be strong in order to pay dividends. I am not a speculator who is gambling on weak stocks with high debts who may catch fire and have big run-ups in share price that will make me rich, rich, rich. Steadily reliable growth in a portfolio of 20 stocks is all I am interested in. The odd, carefully chosen, strong stock may disappoint me, but this is so rare that if it happens, the offsetting gains by the other strong stocks make it barely noticeable. This is why I average a dividend income worth 6% of my portfolio's value each year, plus most years realizing a 12% gain in the value of my portfolio. Question number two. When buying and selling stocks, what is a good return? Supposedly, most people who invest in the stock market lose money on their investments. I have often wondered why. For 20 years, I've maintained a portfolio of 20 financially strong, diversified companies paying high dividends. Usually, the total portfolio averages a dividend yield percent of about 6%. In addition, the capital gain most years, over and above the dividend payout, is in the 12% range. Not that capital gain means much, because I have no intention of selling these stocks. Where I benefit from the capital gain is that usually these stocks increase through dividend payouts at a higher percentage than their share prices increase. This is done to maintain a steady dividend yield percent to meet their shareholders' expectations. This capital gain keeps my dividend income well ahead of inflation. Many years ago, I developed a stock scoring software for myself that helps me pick the strongest stocks in evaluating a stock. I also go back and look at share prices and dividend payouts month by month over the last 25 years. I want to see constant growth in share price and dividend payouts. I especially want to see stocks growth in its price and its dividend payout after the 2000, 2008, and 2020 market crashes. Consistent behavior by a stock means that rarely is a change in a portfolio required. Sometimes I may lose a stock from a portfolio and one of my strong stocks gets bought out, and then I have to invest the resulting capital. That gain greatly increases my income tax that year. Usually my income tax is minimal. To become wealthy, there is no need to speculate or spend much time managing a portfolio. I do not understand why most investors are speculators. I wonder if they lack the discipline of not touching the capital in the portfolio. The money seems to be burning a hole in their pocket. They feel if they are not actively trading stocks every day that somehow wealth is passing them by. It is probably hard for most of those with a $1 million portfolio to accept that they are doing well when they receive an income of $60,000 to $80,000 a year from their $1 million portfolio. Surely, if they are millionaires, they can splurge on luxuries of life. Within reason, they can. But if you wish to grow your wealth for the rest of your life, you soon realize that your expense management is as important as your income management. The final chapter in all my books is always about managing expense. Question number three. How did you become a stock investor? In the 2000 market crash, I lost almost half of my life savings. The money was in mutual funds that my wise financial advisor had foolishly assured me would provide me a good income for 30 years if I sold 4% of the funds each year. My comfortable retirement was gone. What was I now going to do to survive when I retired? Having lost all confidence in investment advisors, with the loss of my life savings in the 2000 stock market crash, I needed an investment strategy that I could trust. In 2000, I'd been employed since 1967 as an executive in the commercial risk information industry with companies like Dun & Bradstreet, Creditel, and Equifax. I built commercial risk systems. They were used by bankers to safely loan money to businesses, to manufacturers and wholesalers to safely ship goods to businesses on credit, and by insurance companies to calculate premiums to cover their commercial risk. It suddenly occurred to me that investing in the stocks of public companies was just another form of commercial risk. If I could successfully build effective scoring systems to sort businesses from highest to lowest risk, surely I should be able to build a scoring system to sort stocks from the most to the least desirable. Using the same scoring strategies, I built a scoring system that directed me to financially strong companies that would pay reliable high dividends. With such companies, I would no longer need to worry about speculators running share prices up and down. These stocks, reliable dividends, would provide me with a steady income. Dividends are not controlled by speculators. Dividends are derived from the wise revenue and expense decisions made by the executives of a company. They result in a profit. From the profits, dividends are paid. This delegates share prices to being only a secondary issue instead of the primary focus it is for most speculative investors. Every business executive understands that the purpose of their company is to generate a profit. They know that without a profit, their business will fail. They will then be out of a job without an income. There is no supernatural power running companies. They are run by people motivated by doing what is in their selfish best interest. I had proved in the systems I developed as a commercial risk executive that companies can develop a stable character that can be perpetuated for decades. This includes companies whose shares you can buy. At best, speculators are only influenced by the reporting of profits. Speculators do not control profits. If investors focus on acquiring the stocks of the companies with a history of being the most profitable companies, their portfolios will grow. The easiest, quickest way to identify the best profitable companies is by identifying those few who have paid ever-rising high dividends for many, many years. To make it easy for investors to find such stocks, in the reference book, New York Stock Exchange's 106 Best High Dividend Stocks, Analyzed and Scored, Not only is each stock scored, but each stock's historical share price and dividend payout going back each year to 1999 is detailed. Many of these 106 stocks continue to increase dividends even during the market crashes of 2000, 2008, and 2020 when their shares temporarily declined. In your life, you will go through many stock market crashes. With a portfolio of strong, high dividend stocks, market crashes cease to be feared. Question number four. How do you react to stock market crashes? If you invest the way I invest, nothing spectacular happens when the stock market crashes. I relax and live off my dividends as I have for the last 20 years. Stocks rise and fall based on the bids made by optimistic speculators who buy because they guess that the stock is going to rise, which will result in them getting rich, 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 and pessimistic speculators who sell because they guess that the stock is going to fall and they are going to become poorer. These speculators trade stocks on the great auction vehicle called the stock market. However, speculators only control share prices. They do not control profits. The purpose of a company is to realize a profit. Profits are derived from the wise revenue and expense decisions made by the wise managers of a company. From profits come dividends. It is not unusual in a market crash where pessimistic speculators drive all share prices down that you can find many companies who have paid ever-increasing dividend payouts for the last 25 years and continue to pay their steady dividends, even in some cases increasing their dividend payouts. Shareholders of these companies do not sell their shares in these financially strong companies. Like me, they relax and wait for the share prices to again rise to new record highs for that stock, as they always have. Some wise investors with unassigned cash in their portfolios who own financially strong stocks paying high dividends look forward to market crashes. This is when they can buy more shares of their out-of-favor strong stocks at bargain prices. They are buying strong, profitable companies, not companies who are popular and pushing share prices to higher and higher levels based not on profits, but on their potential to perhaps someday realizing enough profits to perhaps being able to pay dividends. Speculators pursuing the dream of quick riches usually lose money in market crashes. Market crashes are not to be feared. They are to be anticipated and used to strengthen your portfolio. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.